Safety Program with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Greetings, truth seekers, free thinkers, higher mammals, good people of all types, wherever you are on planet Earth. It is Tuesday, August the 9th. It's 12:04 here on the West Coast. And wow, what a day yesterday was. And we seem to be living in a first world banana republic as opposed to a third world banana republic. And they raided Mar-a-Lago yesterday, which I'm sure you guys are all aware of. And we are going to discuss in just a moment. I'm going to be joined by First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, and he is going to tell us the experiences that he's had and the repercussions he has suffered for refusing the EUA products, the vaccinations, not wearing a mask, et cetera. But I've got to talk a little bit about this raid because, you know, yesterday I was speaking with Peter Duke and we were talking about the Alex Jones thing. And clearly right now we are making examples, okay? You push back against the establishment, everybody's going to be made an establishment, made an example. And that's what Alex Jones is. And then later in the day, what do we have? We have a raid of Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence / I guess his winter home or something. And I've been reading, it's really disturbing, but I was reading and listening to various people and what they had to say about it. One of the people that I enjoy is a constitutional attorney, expert, Jonathan Turley. He was on Fox News and he said he was completely baffled by it. He said that Attorney General Merrick Garland really should have appointed a special counsel. It's like, listen, if there's enough evidence to get a warrant, then you could have probably also got a special counsel, and a special counsel would give at least the appearance of being less political. Now, there was a special counsel into Nixon during the Watergate period, and the whole point of that was to like make this not look political, but just an investigation. Well, Merrick Garland has said, no, we're going to get the warrant, which they did, and they raided Mar-a-Lago. I think they took upwards of, I don't know, multiple boxes. I guess they took a safe and they cracked the safe. And Jonathan Turley was kind of going on to say that, you know, to do this, now this is a historic raid. This has never been done before. No one has ever sent the FBI into a former president's home. But now it's happened on August 8th of 2022. Turley went on to say that he thinks it's historic raid and that there really should have been some kind of a special investigator. Now, Trump's lawyer, this woman, Christina Bob, she said she was there. She was present for the Monday search. She told the news, NBC News, that Trump and his team had already been cooperating with the FBI, the DOJ officials, and that the Bureau did conduct an unannounced raid and seized papers and documents from the home. And I believe it was Eric Trump who said that he was the one who made President Trump aware of the fact, because President Trump, I believe, was in New York. He was not at Mar-a-Lago. It's funny because the way that people are dealing with this, a lot of people are furious about it. The people that hate Trump are super happy about it. But I think it's very concerning because I think we just jumped the shark completely here. And now, those people who might have been on the fence about Trump, those people who might have said, well, you know what, I'm going to wait and see. I think I might just vote for DeSantis. Well, that pushed a lot of people who were on the fence into the Trump camp now. So I think that he probably will announce very soon. And this was a really risky political game that's being played by the attorney general. And clearly the FBI has been weaponized and it is now essentially a secret police. And we've known that for, you know, God, for 7 years. I mean, even before Trump was president, you look at all these allegations that came against him. And well, they all seem to emanate from the FBI. Hunter Biden, FBI had his laptop and sat on it for months and months and months. It did nothing until people had to step in and try to get it to the New York Post. And then you think about January 6th, there's rumors. I think it's probably true. I had friends who were there and witnessed these kind of paramilitary dressed individuals who, you know, the FBI, I think, had something to do with that. So I think that the FBI at this point and the DOJ heavily politicize weaponized perhaps even, and now we've made a raid on a former president. Never been done before. And oh, one other thing, and I'll get into this later. Apparently the judge who signed the warrant, guess what? He was an Obama donor and he had dealings with employees of Jeffrey Epstein. You can't make this up. I kid you not. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that more later. But right now, I just wanted to get my thoughts off my chest about that. Hey, you guys, do you have an upcoming community event or a rally or a march or a festival or a fundraiser that you would, you know, you could use some free publicity? You'd like to put the word out? Well, we can help you. TNT wants to promote it for you. We have a page. Just visit our What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website. Submit your event details. And we will help you get the word out, because that's what we do here on TNT Radio.
Less of the culture you don't want.
I've had enough of this cancel culture.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. In this first hour, I'm joined by First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. This is his first time on the show, and I am just kind of getting up to speed on his story. And he's going to get me straightened out on this, because I've got some things I'm seeing in various pieces that I'm not fully sure about. I think he was a member of the Army, but somewhere I read that he was also a member of the Air Force. But anyway, he is facing major repercussions. He was court-martialed for his refusal to use the emergency use authorization vaccinations. And we're going to catch up with him and see what his life is like now and hear his story. Mark, welcome to the show.
Michael, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here, brother. And I was not aware about all this until this past week. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm active duty Army. I joined the Air Force, enlisted 2006. I served 10 years overseas, various different civil engineer squadrons. My specialty is vector-borne disease, so diseases that are transmitted by insects and other non-battle related injuries to service members. So that's my focus, highly specialized in risk communication strategies and other things like that. And so I did 14 years enlisted in the Air Force, and then I did a direct commission into the Army back in September of 2019 into the Medical Services Corps as a preventive medicine officer, commissioned officer, and my specialty is medical entomology.
And when I saw that, I mean, first of all, now you're not just any soldier. You are a medical officer within the armed services. And what exactly is an entomologist? What is entomology?
So entomology is the study of insects. So the primary mission for an entomologist or a medical entomologist in the Army is to evaluate the risk to service members from vector-borne disease, which is insects. We also deal with vertebrate pests, which is your animals, your snakes, venomous snakes, and other things like that. But also non-battle related injuries such as biological threats, seaburn. We call it seaburn, which is chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, explosive threats to service members. And so the primary so I'm stationed at Army Public Health Center, still active duty. Army currently on leave right now, and these opinions aren't of the DOD or the Army, clearly, because they court-martialed me. So
yes, it's interesting that you said, you know, the vector-borne illnesses and things. So you're a man who knows the uses of certain drugs. So when you say insects and vectors as disease, you certainly would have heard of the drug HCQ and its uses for treating malaria prior to all this.
You're absolutely right. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because back in July of 2020, at the time I was the commander of the Army Public Health Center and Aberdeen Proving Grounds, their higher headquarters company. And I was curious as to why the Department of Defense wasn't looking into hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of the possible treatment and or therapeutic usage in COVID-19 for our service members. I mean, we've used things similar, and even back in, it goes back to Vietnam, they used it back in Vietnam for malaria and some of these other so-called vector-borne disease viruses and things like that, parasites. And so I was curious as to why the DOD or if the DOD was going to look into it. And the answer I got was, it's not effective. And it was clear from that point in time, they had their mindset on a vaccination of sorts to yes. be the cure, the magical cure.
And but as early as March, okay, so and that's about the time that we begin to go into lockdowns. And so you were already aware of this early on, like yourself. I was kind of from the get-go, I was watching this thing because I'm just weird like that, and these kinds of things interest me. So I was fully aware of it early on in 2020, but you immediately saw the possibility of the use for HCQ. Did you see, were there other drugs that you were thinking, well, okay, well, maybe HCQ, maybe this or that. Were there other things that you thought we should have tried?
Yeah, so I brought up HCQ. I brought up vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, zinc, ivermectin. I brought
these things.
I brought all these things up, and I was just curious as a risk communication, as you know, trying to keep our service members healthy, why wouldn't we want to throw that out there? Instead, we're going to go with an experimental injection and a modified RNA injection.
Let me ask you this. Did you keep this information to yourself at the time? Did you just tell, you know, your higher ups and the people in your department, or was the word getting around within the ranks that there were other potential early use therapeutics that could have been used but were not being used?
So no, it was really, there wasn't many people talking about it in the military setting. And then you had the mainstream media running cover on the narrative and really discrediting it, which to me, I was like, at that point in time, I was like, well, I'm interested even more now, because at the time,
absolutely,
even back then, we knew the mainstream media was highly politicized, and they weren't in the business of journalism from my perspective.
No, you're absolutely correct. And that is an astute observation that I think that most people should be making these days. And if you didn't prior to COVID, you damn sure should now. But anyway, so you bring this up to your superiors and they say it's not effective. What happens next?
So from that point in time, I was, like I said, I was the commander. So I had to look out for my service members. And so all these things that were being pushed down, these mandates, these things, I would kind of ignore them and just, you know, just they would stop with me. And then got to a certain point in time where, you know, the masking in the gyms for my service members, my soldiers, I was like, no, this is absolutely insane. I don't need one of my soldiers passing out, bashing their head on the ground after first sergeant smokes us with burpees or push-ups or whatever exercise he chose to do. So I'm trying to look up for my service members. And oh, by the way, I'm a preventive medicine officer. It's my job to communicate risks, and the risk to COVID was so minuscule. And the risk to falling down and bashing your head because of lack of oxygen while performing exercise was a lot greater. And so I brought these concerns up, you know, at different times, but I knew that it was already so highly politicized that nobody was willing to stand up and work with me on these issues. They were like, it's an order. It's an order. It's, you know, we're just following order kind of deal. And I'm just like, well, our job is it one, the order doesn't make sense. And then, oh, come to find out, it's not a lawful order at all, because these are experimental emergency use authorized products. And it's written in federal statute that the individual has the right to accept or refuse participation with these products. And don't believe a word I say, like you said, people need to do their own research. So I'll challenge anybody out there to go look this up for themselves. Title 21, United States Code, Section 360, Triple Bravo - 3, and look up required conditions. Those are the required conditions an individual has inherently to participate with these products. And the next question we need to ask ourselves is why? Why do individuals have these rights? Why do service members have these rights? Why do school teachers have these rights? Why do police officers have these rights? because these experimental emergency use authorized products, everybody, including the government, the manufacturer, everybody down the line is protected by liability protections, right? So if you go out and get one of these experimental inoculations, these injections, and fall over on the ground and die and or serious adverse events, guess what? You can't sue them.
Nope.
You can't sue them. They're protected. Liability protections.
I'm speaking with First Army Officer or First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. We're talking about his experiences in, and he's, this is a medical officer. This is a man who under, who knows what he's speaking about. He tried to let his fellow officers know, and everyone was afraid, you know, just shut up, sit down, and, you know, take the shots. And to his credit, he has maintained his stance, even to the point of being court-martialed. This is TNT. This is Deprogram. I'm your host, Michael Parker. We're going to take our break. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Jesse Zirawell is talking about.
The Biden administration plans to declare the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency in an effort to galvanize awareness and unlock additional flexibility and funding to fight the virus's spread. So it seems that round two of another viral delusion is underway. There are so many things to say about this. One of them being that while they say there are over 6,000 confirmed cases, I have yet to see anybody in the news who's been confirmed to be infected with monkeypox.
Jesse Zirawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
You guys are talking about everything that I just wanted to ask about.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are speaking with First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. He's an entomologist with the Army Public Health Center at Aberdeen Proving Ground, Maryland. And he is... It appears to me, from what I'm reading, he's facing an administration separation from the Army for what they're claiming is a loss of confidence after he was convicted, but not punished, for failing to obey our orders related to preventing the spread of coronavirus. Is that how they're describing it still? You've been convicted, but not being punished.
Right, that's correct. So they convicted me, and the judge did... the judge even sent over a recommendation to the commanding general to drop the conviction, to drop the findings, in which the commanding general upheld the findings and then went through with initiation of elimination, which I've since drafted and submitted a rebuttal to the commanding general. And I also petitioned the judge advocate general of the Army to really go back and look at this court-martial and look at all the evidence I provided for them to make the right decision, because it's there. And I just pray that they'll do that, they read it, and we can move forward as a team versus trying to snuff out service members for standing up for, one, what they believe in, but also upholding their oath to the Constitution.
Amen, brother. Well, we're going to jump back now. So you were describing, so back in spring of 2020, as this is all rolling out, you're seeing all the problems, you're trying to bring the people around you to the realization that, hey, there's issues here. There are early treatments that we could be using, but you guys are not wanting to do that. Then you're pointing out that the masks, you know, inhibits the breathing of your men. And, you know, this is still a ways away. They haven't declared the, I guess, the vax mandate until fall of 2020. But so from late spring through the summer, what all is happening during that period? Just the same things that are happening to civilians, whereas, you know, all the crazy mandates and the stand 6 feet apart and all this stuff.
So what's interesting is it seemed like the military took a later approach to the mandates, everything besides the testing and the masking. So the masking was always kind of there, but the vaccination mandates came August 2021 when the SecDef came down and then mandated. And what's interesting, I want to note about that, the SecDef mandated an FDA-approved and licensed COVID-19 vaccination. However,
that's not what these are.
However, we have evidence that those are not available. They've never been available. The ones they were coercing service members to get was the experimental emergency use authorized ones.
Mark, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember whatever period. It's funny because all these things have happened over the course of 2 or 3 years, and it seems so long ago. But they were saying, "Oh yes, this thing Comirnaty, this is going to be approved, and this is the one you're going to take." As far as I know, it's never made its way stateside, and we've been using those same vaccines that we were using in the beginning, which are the EUA vaccines. And I've had this conversation before that part of the reason that they couldn't let us use HCQ and ivermectin is then you can't get EUA, you can't get the emergency use authorizations for these vaccines when there is something on the books already that will work. So clearly the game was afoot from the get-go. It's all about the vaccines, damn the torpedoes, this is what we're doing.
You're absolutely right. If you have a safe and effective product or effective product against this, aka hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, some of these other therapeutics, then you can't have you can't get an EUA authorization. We have the evidence from frontline doctors that those are effective and they're safe. And they just complete ignorance to that and went, like you said, torpedoes full steam ahead. Let's go. Yeah. And what's interesting, you mentioned the Comirnaty FDA approved and licensed product. Well, as of May 20th, 2022, this year, the DOJ and the DOD came out and said, we now in a motion to a lawsuit, as of today, that day they responded in their motion, they said, we now have Comirnaty FDA approved and licensed or Comirnaty labeled products available. However, I just went on to the CDC database with my account, plugged in the lot number. It's showing up on an emergency use authorized listing, right? So, and also, why would the FDA be granting new emergency use authorized letters, i.e. Novavax, when we have a so-called FDA approved and licensed product? Wouldn't you just create the FDA approved and licensed product and push it around instead of granting new authorizations? So to me, they're all EUA because of what I mentioned earlier, liability protections.
Yes.
The moment somebody gets damaged from an FDA approved and licensed product is the moment they can sue and they have recourse.
You know what? Let's take a break here because I have to absorb this and I want to follow up on the Comirnaty thing and a bunch of stuff you just said. I want to make sure I understand all this correctly. You guys, we're going to take our bottom of the hour news break. I'm speaking with First Lieutenant Mark Shaw, and we are talking about his experiences in trying to explain to the armed services, the people around him, everything that he was seeing and why we were not taking the correct path. And now he's paying the price for it. He got court-martialed. This is TNT. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Donald Trump posted to his social media platform an eerie apocalyptic ad calling America a nation in decline, while also promising a political future for himself where he says the best is yet to come. The leaders of Estonia and Finland want fellow European countries to stop issuing tourist visas to Russian citizens. Taipei's foreign minister says that China is using its large-scale military exercises around Taiwan to prepare for an invasion of the self-governed island.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw is the first Army officer that has gone to court-martial and been convicted for refusing emergency use authorization products. Mark, I want to back up a little bit to what you said about Cominardi, because I said, as far as I knew, it hadn't made it stateside. And you said that, you know, you had done some looking into it. And apparently there were some of them. I don't know where they're at, but they were still listed as EUA. So, A, do these things even really exist? And B, what is their actual status? Are they approved or are they emergency use authorization? I mean, all of this is all bad.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I will direct your audience. I just signed a declaration, a whistleblower declaration with Senator Ron Johnson's office, speaking exactly about this with specific details. And also a lieutenant from the Coast Guard, Chad Coppin, also signed a declaration. The reason why we did this is because we had these Cominardi labeled products showing up on Coast Guard bases and DOD bases. And when this individual, Lieutenant Coppin, tried to inquire on their manufacturing locations, nobody would inform him where they were manufactured. And other than a voice recording with Pfizer, that Pfizer saying they're manufactured in France. Well, if they're manufactured in France, that's not the proper, according to the requirements, that's not the proper location for an FDA-approved and licensed product. And oh, by the way, they're also still showing up on the CDC's official emergency use authorized database when I plug in the lot numbers that showed up to his base. So what is it? Are they FDA approved and licensed? And where were they manufactured? And why isn't this transparent? Why is this such a secret? If these are so safe and effective, wouldn't you be completely transparent about this information? And wouldn't you want the public to know, hey, you know, FDA approved and licensed are available. This is, you know, all the information we have, instead of this kind of bait and switch game. And it all, to me, it all, the public, the general public really needs to understand these liability protections with these emergency use authorized products. Because when you read the PREP Act signed on 17 March of 2020, it's rather disturbing how much protections and immunities the government has, FDA, CDC, manufacturers, Pfizer, Moderna, and distributors, and your, you know, medical personnel as well.
It is shocking. I've, you know, well before COVID, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just want to know what's going into my body. And my instincts are pretty good. When I see certain things happen in large numbers, I want to look into it. And I interviewed Dale Bigtree and Dr. Andrew Wakefield back in 2015, 2016, and they made me aware of all these protections that even then the pharmaceutical companies had. And in 1986, there was that Vaccination Protection Act or something, where we kind of set aside this token amount of money that we were going to give to people if they could prove that they'd been damaged. But anyway, yes, the pharmaceutical companies have protection that I don't know if any other industry has the level of protection that they have.
You're absolutely right. And I want to remind the audience that not only for just inoculations, these, whatever you want to call them, the mRNA injections, not only for that, but the masking and the testing are also experimental emergency use authorized. And I want to make this important point. We're using an experimental emergency use authorized PCR test to tell us whether somebody has coronavirus or not. I mean, does anybody see an issue with that? Not FDA approved? Seriously? And then you want to force people into these antigen kits that have deadly chemicals in them that I explained in my court martial. Hey, the reagents within these chemical, test kits, like Binax now has sodium azide. Sodium azide is a deadly chemical, and they're in these kits, and the government and these manufacturers are handing them out like candy. What happens when a kid gets a hold of this, or they improperly use these medical devices? Well, I'll tell you what happens. The individual gets injured, and there's no recourse for to hold these manufacturers or anybody else accountable.
Mark, I thought the kits were dodgy. I thought they were cheap, poorly made, and probably pretty half-ass. I didn't know they were dangerous.
Yeah, they have, I looked up all the SDSs, which an SDS is a safety data sheet. And oh, by the way, when you read the emergency use authorized letters from the FDA to the manufacturer of whatever kit it is, the FDA waived good manufacturing practices. So there is no safety oversight of these products. So essentially, they don't really have to tell you exactly what's in these products. So we don't actually know 100% what's in these products, but I can say I do know some of the chemicals. I have pulled the safety data sheets on those, and those are deadly chemicals. And they, and what's on these Q-tips that are people are shoving up their noses and potentially even breaching the blood-brain barrier? We know that there's ethyl oxide in some of them, but what else is on them? Well, we don't know, and they don't have to tell us.
Is that consistent with the nasal swabs that doctors were using before COVID, or is it just the ones that are being made now?
So with the kits that are made now, and then, so you have two separate testing protocols. You've got the PCR test.
Yes.
And then you've got the kits.
Yes.
And so from my understanding, both of them were, those swabs were impregnated with ethyl oxide, which is a carcinogen. But again, we don't actually know everything that's produced on these and where are they made?
Yeah.
Where are they made? A lot of them are made in China.
Of course they are.
Right. I mean, and the masking as well.
All right, man. I don't even, there is so much at play here. And from the get-go, it just, I don't have the education you do, but I'm a pretty smart guy. I went to college, and it's like, you know, I've seen a few things in my time, and I was skeptical of all of this from the get-go, and it just seemed like the things that they were asking us to do seemed like the most unscientific things. You know, this idea, okay, so social distancing, stand 6 feet apart, you're going to wear these masks. Well, wait a minute, the virus is smaller than the mesh that makes up the mask. What about the side of it? I mean, it's just, everything was just, you know, you're going to stay home. You're not going to be in the sun. You're not going to be in pools with chlorine, which typically disinfects these kind of things. It's just, everything about it was just, it seemed more like it was about control and fear than science. And yet we were told to trust the science. And this was all supposedly coming from the science. And thank you for standing up and trying to put some sense into this, because you, as a person with a medical, as a medical person, you're one of the few people they would thought that you would have thought they would, that people would listen to, but they didn't even want to listen to you.
Right. Yeah. What I call it fake science. It's not real science. Real science is when you have something and you question it, and you use the scientific method to figure out, you know, hey, are we doing this right? Are we on the right track? Or do we need, or did new information come in, and do we need to change course? Well, new information has come in. And guess what? These products are dangerous and deadly. I've said it over and over again. We have the data, the government's own data, and they don't seem to want to recognize it. We've got serious issues. And then we're going to court-martial the medical officers that are standing up to try to bring these issues up and bring them up the chain of command and inform leadership. I mean,
all right. So you've made the people around you aware of all this. It's mid 2020, as you mentioned. The vaccines, the mandate is not going to come down till August 2021. So you're refusing to wear the mask. You're refusing to take the tests. And I can't, I'm trying to remember when they rolled the tests out. I don't remember right off the bat, but from the get-go, you were saying, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So the reason why I did what I did was the DOD came down with a discriminatory and unlawful testing mandate that was targeting the unvaccinated individuals. So it's a, to me, it's a weaponized tool to coerce an individual to participate with an experimental injection. But the problem is the thing they're coercing us with is also experimental emergency use authorized product to where the individual have the right to accept or refuse. It's written in Title 10 U.S. Code. It's written in Title 21 U.S. Code. It's specific. It's black and white. And so when that time came where I was actively targeted and discriminated against, it was time for me to bring these concerns up one-on-one to the person I was having an issue with, which it was at the time it was my commander, and try to solve the problem. And at the time, it was falling on deaf ears, didn't want to listen. And I said, okay, well, I have additional measures I can do, which is an Article 138 UCMJ. It's a service member's ability to formally redress concerns. So I initiated one of those. But the problem was I had to show up and perform my duties. I have service. I have soldiers I lead. I have duties on site I need to perform. And I showed up to work without a mask and test. And from that point on, they stripped me of my access to Army Public Health Center, suspended my security clearance, flagged my record, restricted me from the entire base, and withheld promotion, and then charged me with Article 92 UCMJ, which is failure to obey an order. Well, the problem is the orders have to be lawful.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, what you just described to me, you have done your homework. You've got the receipts. This commander that you're presenting this information to, do you think for that commander, whoever he or she may be, was it political? Was it just, this is how we do it? What was their motive for being so bullheaded about this? Was this something that they just agreed with, you know, internally? Why were they so lacking in wanting to hear what you had to say?
Yeah, so it was, it's kind of like an, I'm just following orders. This is above my head kind of deal. This is, you know, that's kind of the attitude.
Do you think that was genuine?
I honestly don't know. And that's why I tried to perform redress. In my redress, I legitimately said, are these your orders, or are you merely conveying these orders from the leaders above you? And that's the individuals, that's this commander's opportunity to be like, hey, listen, these orders are coming from up top. We all know they're coming from up top. I'll work with you to bring your concerns up, and so we can come to a solution and really see if the, you know, we have issues here. But instead, the wide-ranging thing is easier to bury the person in the ground and hammer them down than to work with them and bring it up to leadership. And unfortunately, they just picked the wrong person.
Well, and here again, just like I said at the top of the show, right now it is and has been for a while all about making examples. And they are going to try to make an example of First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. And they didn't anticipate that you'd be as bullheaded as you are and stand tall, and kudos to you. But they're trying to strike fear in everyone else. Don't do what he did. You see what happened. I'll tell you what, I want to know about the court martial. Let's go ahead and go to our ad break a little bit early so we can just finish up on the other side with that big part of the story. This is TNT Deprogram, and I'm speaking with First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, and we'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
So what are the big global weather headlines? Well, the lack of headlines continue in the Western Pacific. It's amazing watching how weak the tropical cyclone season is there. And taking a look at the European over the next 4 weeks, the European computer model has less than 50% of the average activity in the western part of the Pacific Ocean. This is absolutely stunning, and they're on track for the lowest year ever. 2010, we didn't see much going on there. Neither did we see much in 1999. Big heat continues in Europe over the next week to 10 days, but then it backs off. In the United States, a major shot of cool air comes right into the eastern part of the United States later this week into next week, and really trims summer. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So you just gave a list of the things that they did to you, including kind of putting any further promotions on hold and the separation and all this. Now, is this all prior to the court-martial?
That's correct. And they also threatened me with they sent me a packing list to Leavenworth prior to the court-martial in an attempt, in my view, in my perception, to threaten me to try to get me to break somehow. It was quite
packing list to Leavenworth, meaning you should probably bring a toothbrush and some deodorant because you're going to Leavenworth.
Yeah. So they said, commander called me and said, "Hey, I need you to have a packing list ready to go, for Leavenworth. And, that bag you'll have to hand in to some individual when I enter the courtroom." And then later on that day, after it got sent out to the media, specifically Gateway Pundit, ironically, the commander called back and said, "Oh, it's no longer needed. You don't need the packing list anymore."
So when did the order for the court-martial come down?
So I got notified I was being sent to a court-martial January 18th, 2022. And then the court-martial occurred April 28th and 29th of 2022.
Well, let me ask you this, because one of my buddies who follows all the COVID stuff very deeply, just like me, is listening to your interview, and he's sending me some information that says the judge rules Air Force cannot enforce COVID-19 vaccine mandate for 14 days. This comes from KRDO out of Colorado. Thursday, a federal judge in Cincinnati issued a temporary restraining order prohibiting the U.S. Air Force from enforcing the military vaccine mandate. So maybe that's just a temporary thing that's just happened, possibly because people like yourself have brought this to the attention of so many that they're kind of in a bind now, where with you, because you were ahead of the thing, you know, they say in the market, don't be first, but you were first, and thank God. Have you heard about this temporary mandate?
Yeah. So the Air Force just got a temporary restraining order for those service members who are standing up for their rights and choosing not to participate with these products, whether it be religious or just flat out because it's emergency use authorized. The issue that a lot of service members, and it was brought to my attention recently, a lot of these Air Force service members are still being punished, even though there's a restraining order against that happening. So I want to really bring that to light. There's a federal judge who said these individuals are protected and the Air Force is still issuing their punishments or whatever the case is. And another thing is, they're kind of way to get around it is like, oh, well, we have Novavax now. Novavax is another emergency use authorized product, experimental, and they're claiming that, oh, we satisfy your religious accommodations because their assumption is majority of people submitted religious accommodation because the vaccines had aborted fetal cells in it. And they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, Novavax doesn't, or whatever the case is. But the fact remains, Novavax is an emergency use authorized product.
Yeah.
These service members don't even need a religious accommodation because they're protected by federal statute in the fact that they have the option to accept or refuse participation with these products.
Details, details, details. They are just trusting that people are not going to be like you. They're not going to actually look into this. They're not going to have the receipts. They're not going to have done the homework, and they're certainly not going to have the nerve to bring any of this up. But thank God for people like yourself. So I didn't mean to get off on that Air Force thing, but it was coming through quickly, and I just wanted to bring that up to you. But back to you. So you get court-martialed, and how long does this take, and what is the final outcome, and where does that leave you now?
Yeah, so we go through a court-martial, and prior to the court-martial beginning, there's what's called a 39-alpha session. And this session is to determine whether or not the orders were lawful or not. The judge made the determination that it was a lawful order, even though he skipped over the entire required conditions of the federal statute, which specifically in black and white says an individual has the accept or refuse right to refuse participation with these products. And so at that point in time, I wasn't hiding the fact that I wasn't participating. In fact, I was making it very clear. I'm not participating, and here's why I'm not participating. And so we went into the actual court martial, and the prosecution was like, did you show up to work on this day without a mask? Why, yes, I did. You know, I'm not, what are you getting at? And so I was found guilty, and then we went to sentencing. The prosecution asked for $25,000 forfeiture of pay and a letter of reprimand from a general officer, in which the judge said no additional punishment, so none, beyond the conviction. And he even recommended to the general to drop the conviction and the findings altogether, in which the commanding general upheld the conviction and then went on to initiate elimination from service based upon the conviction, because they quote unquote lost trust in my capabilities as an officer.
Does elimination from your position, does that mean, was that for the Army or for the Air Force? And does that mean that you don't get any kind of pension or anything? What does that mean exactly?
Well, after 17 years of honorable active duty service, complete elimination from service with nothing. I mean, I'm not doing it for any of that anyway, because my mission is to glorify God and to honor my oath to the Constitution. And it's an absolute privilege for me to be able to do that. So everything else is just icing on the cake, in my opinion. But yes, nothing. Just a kick in the ass, really, and see ya.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love your attitude and what you just said. Man, that touched me. I mean, you're doing it for all the right reasons. And thank God for people like you, because a lot of people don't have the gumption. They didn't have the knowledge, and you've got all of that. So I wish you continued success and health. And like I say, I appreciate what you did. A lot of people are going to hear this story today and appreciate what you did. What do you think happens now? Because now they're, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Novavax, because my news story for my second hour was going to be having to do about the Novavax, because basically they've just said that they've lost a ton of money and their stock price is going down because, guess what? Nobody wants to take the damn thing anymore. But what do you think happens now? Because now we're rolling out, you know, the monkeypox, and we're talking about polio on the East Coast, which I really should have gotten into that today as well. But because there was polio found in the London sewers a month ago, which I covered. But anyway, it's just fear porn round the clock. We're all going to die of pestilences. Or am I wrong? What do you think is going to happen now?
I think the American people, together as one, we the people are going to come to the realization that based on our own individual rising up and internal turmoils that we come to and fight in the spiritual realms, we'll come to the realization that it is fear. And as long as we have faith over fear, then together we can successfully move forward and kind of rebuild after whatever's going to happen happens. But I would say that obviously there's a lot of disinformation that the federal government's putting out at this point in time and has been And it's up to each individual and their responsibility to kind of do their own research and stand up and exert themselves and to realize that, you know, they're the individuals that must be in charge of the government. And we're seeing why that's so important at this point in time.
First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, my final question is a little bit of a statement, but also just to get your opinion, because I was reading yesterday. So after the raid on Mar-a-Lago, people are, you know, some people are happy because it's, you know, orange man bad 24/7. But the rest of us, even if we did or didn't like Trump, are like, holy cow, this is a watershed moment of what just happened. This looks very third world. This looks very banana republic. And I was just reading what people were saying. And like some woman was on Twitter and she says that she's almost in tears. And she's saying, military, are you going to help us out? Now, I personally don't think that anybody's coming to save us. And I don't know that necessarily it is the military's role to save us. But I'm more just curious, having been in the military for 17 years, man, I hope that there's a lot of the military who understands what's going on. And I hope that they're not just shirking this or trying to, you know, ignore it and just follow orders. Are most people in the military aware of the seriousness of the state that we're in now?
I think big picture, yes. I think majority do understand the seriousness of the situation. And I understand, and I will say my brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters didn't die overseas for our rights and the people's rights to be trampled upon. And my brothers and sisters in uniform specifically, this goes out to you. We all understand the oath we took. We all understood when we raised our right hand what that means. And we understand that is our mission to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I will say that's the core essence of our ethos in the military.
God bless you, Mark. Tell everybody where they can follow along with you and if you have any platforms or websites, how people can keep up with you.
Yeah, so if I have a Truth Social at Mark Bashaw. I'm not very vocal on there. Every once in a while, I'll throw out some things, but that's where they can follow me. And then another shout out to truthforhealth.org with Dr. Lee Vliet. She does an amazing job getting the resources to the people. And
I'm trying to book her right now.
Yep. Whether or not if you're vaccine injured, go to her website. She's got protocols. If you're looking to get rid of a sickness or an illness, she's got protocols on truthforhealth.org. And amazing resource, amazing woman doing some great work, just an absolute patriot like yourself, Michael.
Well, thank you. You're kind. Are there any other of your brothers and sisters in military that you want to point out that need to be known for fighting a good fight like yourself on this issue?
Well, yeah. Look into Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. Look at what she did. Look at what she stood for. Look at another brave individual who stood up and, spoke up was Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, Doc Pete Chambers, Major Sam Sigaloff. These individuals all speaking up and just incredible individuals, and God bless them.
Well, this gives me hope because when you rattle off those lists of names, some of them I've heard of, I mean, we need everybody on board right now. We need everybody at attention and we need everybody to speak up that can speak up. And I thank you for your service. I thank you for this service on a larger level than just being in the service. And you are a hero. I hope that one day the military realizes that they were wrong and in some way try to correct what they've done to you. I don't know if that will happen, but I hope it does. And I appreciate what you've done for us. And Mark, just continued good health and continued good luck to you. First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. God bless you.
All right, folks, you heard it there. I mean, this is a serious time. And every day, sometimes I come in here and I think, wow, it's not going to get any crazier, is it? I mean, it's not going to get any more doomy or pessimistic. And I try to I try to keep things light on the show because that's kind of my personality, even though internally I'm really heavy. But I also realize that I don't want to bum people completely out. I would like to remind each of us of our humanity, and that's why I try to laugh, and that's why I use some of the words that I use and the colloquialisms that I use, is to remind us, hey, man, even though it's bad, we still got friends and we still got each other. So right now, we need to support people like First Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. We need to fight all of those people who are in the fight because, baby, it is on right now. And, man, that thing yesterday, you don't have to like Trump. I don't care if you do or not, but that was nuts. And I think something much bigger is at play than we even surmise. And I'm going to stay on top of it. This is the program. My name is Michael Parker. This is TNT. We'll be back in just a moment.